Hey, happy Thursday, and welcome to another edition of Sports Look on Care Radio. Great to have you with us. A little tip of the hat to our Sports Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, and Exchange Bank. Gus, the upcoming sports schedule is kind of hectic, kind of weird, kind of unusual, but hey, we're getting into that postseason time of the year. Care Radio, no game tomorrow night because we're going to move up the scoreboard show and get ready for weekend wrestling and a lot of coverage going around the MSC network for state wrestling tournaments. So while tomorrow there's no high school basketball, Saturday we do have the Benedictine Ravens, BC in its final game of 23-24. We're going to go to Iowa. It'll be Graceland at home with Benedictine. 2 o'clock ladies game, 4 o'clock for the guys. Next week, it's the first round. First game's in sub-state. And Monday night, we're going to have girls basketball as we will travel to Winchester. It will be Valley Falls at JCN on Tuesday night in the girls game, 7 o'clock tip, and then a 7 o'clock game on Tuesday as it'll be the boys' turn, and we're going to have Oskaloosa at Valley Falls. So lots of NEKL teams getting together in round one of what will ultimately be then after the first round, the JCN sub-state. Wednesday, the Benedictine Lady Ravens in the first round of the conference postseason tournament. They are going to be at home. It'll be in the Nolan Gym. We're going to be there. We just don't know who they're playing yet. So it will depend on the Saturday games as this season has come right down to the wire. And then from here on out we go.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in segment two. We could probably look at it and decide who they're going to have. But yeah, it's that time of the year. We're into brackets. Some brackets we have, other brackets we wait till Saturday on, and first of all, let's start with, Class 4A, where we don't have a bracket, but we can throw a dart at that board.
Yeah, there is no bracket, but tell you what you do have, in the brand new latest update, a Phoenix change. Atchison, guys have jumped back up and have taken over the top spot once again.
Yep, so Atchison's going to be the one seed right now. Baldwin falling a game back at 16-3 with one game to go. Atchison will play Paola next week, right? Paola right now at 0-19. They are two games back of Labette County. I just don't see any way around that Mack truck in Class 4A. So, yeah, figure Atchison to be at home in round one with Paola. What, the Panthers?
Paola Panthers.
So, there are about three teams in the east side of the state that have finished the season. Rock Creek is going to finish at 16-4. Holton is done at 8-12. And Tongi finishes the year at 7-13 in the west part of the state. Hugoton, looks like they're settled in at 2. They're finished. Pratt, the Greenbacks, are finished at 17-3, and then you got a couple other ones. But in that west side of the state, you've got McPherson, who is the lone undefeated team left in Class 4A on the boys' side. Switching over to the girls, you've got the Atchison Phoenix finding themselves at 10-8, and they are done. So they're going to get a 2-0 win for Friday night's game and move their attention towards sub-state. So right now, they're sitting in the 9 spot. No way to get up to 8. They could fall to 10, depending on what the tiebreaker is with Parsons. I mean, they are just razor thin with Parsons right now. So, but figure that Atchison's going to be 9, and they're going to get, probably Independence in that first game?
I would say that looks right, yeah. So, the good news is,
So they'll get Parsons. So they'll... It looks like it'll be Atchison versus Parsons, right? Both 9 will get 10 in an 18 team setup. So, So looks like Atchison and probably Parsons on the ladies' side in that first round game. Look out west. Wellington is the one seed out there. They are 18-1. Fort Scott is the east side number one team. They are 18-1. Miege is 2 on the girls' side at 16-3.
So there you have it. The Phoenix, a couple home games coming up, right?
Looks like it, yeah.
Yeah. Now, we go to Class 3A, and brackets are out now for 3-2-1, okay? And we'll start with 3A and the Hoyt Royal Valley Substate, and we go to there because the Tigers at ACCHS are a 3A team. And starting off with the girls' side, ACCHS on Tuesday is going to be at home. And the Lady Tigers at 6-12 are number 4. And Perry LeCompton at 6-14, number 5. So it will be the Cause at the Tigers Tuesday night at 7 o'clock out in Effingham.
Is it just me or is it a little weird to look at some of these teams in the same light, like as 3A teams?
Yeah, I see, you know, teams like Hayden and Sabetha and Jeff West. I was Royal Valley. I always think 4A's.
For
yeah.
me, you know.
But those are the teams in the 3A substate at Royal Valley. You're going to have Hayden hosting Ward. You're going to have Hiawatha hosting Sabetha and Jeff West hosting Royal Valley. All of those teams played each other like 15 times this year.
Yeah, and Hiawatha is going to – so Hayden is the 1 seed at 16-3. Hiawatha at 8-12 will be the 2 seed. Followed by the 3 being Jeff West, ACCHS at the 4 seed.
Right. If the Tigers are able to get by Perry LeCompton in that first round game, I think the likelihood of them playing Hayden, who is 16-3, and that will be up against Ward, it's 0-19. I think the likelihood of playing Hayden's pretty good.
Yeah, you're going to go out on that limb there, yeah. Right? That Hayden at 16-3 can get by Ward at 0-19. Now, flipping over to the guys. Substate 3A. Again, I'm going to struggle with that whole 3A idea. And that one at Royal Valley, you're going to see ACCHS traveling Monday evening. They're going to be at Sabetha for a 7 o'clock tip-off.
Yep, Sabetha, the champions of the Big 7 at 17-3. So you're going to have the Tigers at the Blue Jays. That used to be a regular deal.
Yeah, used to be in the Big 7, yep. So in the 4-5 matchup, you're going to see the Hiawatha guys at home with Jeff West. The number 2 seed is going to be Perry LeCompton. They're going to get Royal Valley. And then in the 3-6 matchup, it's going to be a Monday night game because, again, Ward and Hayden are going to match up on the girls' and the guys' side. So anyway, now jumping across and – we want to go 2A now?
Yeah, you want to go girls first, boys first. What do you say?
Let's just start with the ladies.
Okay. So we're going to click back over. It's a few clicks to get all of this stuff up, but it's doable.
It's too many clicks. Kasia, we're not going to go there.
Kasia's got it. You just got to find it a little bit. You know, the girls 2A bracket at the Jefferson County North substate. Number 1 seed is going to be Riverside, and they will play the winner of the Saturday. And again, we got to be careful. This is not a play-in game. This is just a first-round game Saturday, right? McLouth at Care Paravel. That's going to be a noon game in Topeka.
Yeah, Care Paravel right now at 5-15 will take on McLouth, who are finding themselves at 1-19 this season. So the winner will get Riverside Monday night, 7 p.m. At Riverside.
You know what? This is going to be one of the really, really, really good substates, okay? We're going to have a lot of these games from this substate here on Care Radio. And out of the 9 teams in it, I'm going to be real honest, there are 6 of them who could win it.
Yeah, again, we talk about substate all the time that there are going to be teams that just jump up and you say, yeah, not surprised by that. And there are going to be some that you are, but I feel like when you get to this time of the year, all it takes is one real hot night of shooting, you know, somebody just not having a good night shooting. So many things go a different way. We'll talk about it a little bit in segment 2, but during that Benedictine ladies game yesterday, did you notice that the officiating has transitioned now to tournament style officiating?
Yeah, oh, quit, no, quit.
Which is a completely different style of basketball. So again, if you're not able to adjust right now, you're going to be packing jerseys away and looking to spring sports pretty quickly.
Yeah, again, the bottom line in what you're kind of getting at is it's more of a lace-off fair. Let them play.
Yeah, lace them up, let's go. We left the whistles in the car, sorry.
If you're on the floor and you're scrimming for the ball, I suggest you keep going after it because somebody's going to come off the bottom of that stack with a basketball and we're going to play it on down the floor.
What did they say? Play until the whistle, right?
Yes. So you got Riverside, who's going to be at home Monday again, as you mentioned, against the winner of Care Paravel McLouth. Pleasant Ridge will be at home Monday at 7, hosting Oskaloosa. MHMA is the number 2 seed, and they will have Horton coming up to the Haverty Gymnasium at 7. And a game that we'll have here on Care Radio on Monday night, it'll be Jefferson County North at home with Valley Falls. Those two teams just played literally last week at a girls game that was tied at the end of three quarters.
Do you realize that out of nine teams in this sub-state, eight of them will be Northeast Kansas League teams next season?
Yeah.
I mean, Caraparabel being the outlier here, but yes, as Riverside's going to make the transition to the NEK, so anyway, very Northeast Kansas flair to this sub-state at JCN. Go to the Class 2A sub-state boys bracket there at JCN. Morehill Mount Academy, the one seed, and they'll wait a few minutes before they know who they're going to play on Tuesday night, because they're going to get that first round game between Pleasant Ridge at home with McLeod. That is going to be Saturday at 3 p.m.
Okay, here's what you talk about. Does every game matter? It certainly did to this first round game. Pleasant Ridge, 4-15. McLeod has to travel because they're 4-16. So maybe playing that extra game was not a great idea. We go about this a lot.
We talked about it in depth last week that sometimes coaches look too far ahead and say, well, we got to get them in. And instead, you should probably say, well, maybe a little rest isn't all bad, and we'll rest on maybe one fewer game. So, again, is it a long road trip? No, but it's still a road trip.
And that same thing applies to 3-4, and let's just talk about that. Morehill Mount Academy, again, is going to be the one seed, and they will get the winner of that Pleasant Ridge McLeod game. Tuesday, it will be Winchester JCN hosting Caraparabel. This is a 2A boys sub-state. And then it will be at Horton. Horton and Wapena Riverside at 7 o'clock. And again, we'll have you on Care Radio. Valley Falls is going to be hosting Oskaloosa. And again, look at those records. 16-4 for MHMA. But at number 2, it's 14-5. At number 3, it's 13-6. And at number 4, it's 13-7. So again, that extra game for JCN may have pushed him back a spot.
Yeah, I mean, you've got some good teams here. I mean, you look at the sixth seed, still had 10 wins this season, okay? So, again, you talk about another one that I think is wide open. We talked about it a little bit on the other side. Next week, when we're talking about the winners of these sub-states, because by next week we'll know the champions, we'll be starting to talk about, how about that, state tournaments and things like that. I am not going to be shocked at all with whoever wins these JCN sub-states.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you can tell me literally a number of these teams, and I'll say, okay, yeah, saw that. I mean,
all right, we've talked about these are almost all conference teams. That means they have all played one another at least twice. And if mid-season tournaments could have easily made it three times you've played. If you're playing a team for a third or fourth time, does that help? Does that hurt? Does it matter? Do you feel like you found an Achilles heel that you can exploit? Does that change your prep? Do you prep for this fourth game the same way you prep for the first three? What's the diff, or is there a diff?
I would love to ask a coach that, because for me, if I'm looking at it from both sides, if I look at it from a coaching side, I like it in the sense of I kind of have an idea of what I'm going to see, a little easier feel. But from a coach's side, too, you're going, I worry about, you know, that false sense of confidence from my team, because maybe I beat this team three times this season. But as a coach, I know that the reason we beat him three times is because that kid got in foul trouble. This kid didn't shoot that day. That kid was sick the third time we played him. You know, I mean, any of those things. But as a high school kid, you don't always see that. You say, well, we beat him three times. I mean, what's the fourth going to do? I mean, so I think sometimes as players, we get into that false sense of security of, oh, we beat them before, or you get into the idea of, man, I am tired of seeing that team. And so sometimes maybe you sleepwalk a little bit, and by the time you look up at the scoreboard, you say, we're in the third quarter, and this game's not exactly where I thought it should be.
Yeah, and so as a coach, I've lost, this is just a theoretical situation, a speculative moment. I've lost to them three times. I'm going to play them again for the fourth time. Two conference games, a tournament game. I've lost every one of them to these guys. So do I say, you know what, obviously what I was doing didn't work, and I am going to so totally switch up. Instead of, you know, running a transitioning, I'm going to go to my two biggest kids. I'm going to run a double post. I'm going to shoot once a quarter.
Yeah.
Because I can.
Because you can. You know, and that's going to be another thing that, yeah, do you see some of these teams come out and just completely transition from what they are? Because I would say in basketball, you can do that much easier than you can in a lot of other sports. Like in football, you're not going to go from the wing tee to the spread offense from week 9 into week 10. You
and
know?
You cannot guarantee that you could control the ball for a quarter.
Right.
And we have games, and there's one that stands out in my mind that I will never forget. Really good team, number one seed, playing a middle-of-the-road team that had lost him several times. High-flying, high-scoring team. That coach for that team that was not as successful literally shot once, maybe twice a quarter. It was a game that it didn't take 20 to win because they completely altered this game.
We saw that in the state tournament. I mean, it's probably been a little longer than I want to admit, but within the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Remember that Boys State tournament game where
we went to overtime
and we went to 6 of them and had like 7 total shots in 6 overtime.
Because the team that won the tip just held the ball and took a last shot to win.
Yep. And it was just one of those things where everybody screamed, but it was like, hey, the rules say you can do this.
There is no shot clock in Kansas yet.
And maybe it's not a bad idea, right? I mean, I probably wouldn't ask Kyle Shanahan for any, you know, extra quarter advice. But, you know, I mean, that's definitely one way to do it. So, again, basketball, one of those games where you can switch up a lot of things. If you've been a man team all season – within 1 week, you can come out and run strictly zone that nobody has seen you run all season, right? If you come out in a 1-3-1 zone, teams will sit there for 2 quarters and be confused.
Try to figure it out.
How to attack it, okay?
They got
to
go in at halftime.
You can go at halftime, and you can say, okay, 1-3-1 worked. Scrap it. We're going to go man the entire second half. Because the other team's sitting there, okay, 1-3-1, here's how we're going to beat it.
They spent the whole halftime getting ready for it.
And then you come out in the second half and see something completely different. So I think that's what I like about, you know, postseason basketball is the gamesmanship. Because, again, you're bound to see some things you've never seen from some of these teams. And I think that's what's fun about it.
Can I also suggest to you, and I'm going to just throw this out of the water while we're just chatting it up here, coaching becomes much bigger, I think, in the sub-states because you've got to get your team ready. How many times have we seen a number one seed? That is really good. It is a superior team out of the whole 8. I mean, there is no question about it. And they lose in that first round because maybe those kids weren't ready. Maybe that coach had not gotten them ready. Maybe that number 8 coach got his team fired up and did some of those things you're talking about, switching it up. The better team does not always win these games.
Yeah,
I think coaching is huge.
I think that's basketball more than any sport.
Yeah,
right?
So I love it.
Years
love it.
In football and some other sports, the best team just is going to win. But in basketball, how many times do we look at a state champion and say, that wasn't the best team in that bracket? Or sub-state, that wasn't the best team in that bracket, but they won because, again, they got hot. They, you know, maybe adapted better. The other team just wasn't able to make anything work. So, yeah, I think that's what's crazy about this time of year is you really do rely on those coaches to make those changes and be able to get your team to understand what's happening.
I tell you what, we're going to take a quick breather. And, again, we've got sub-state tournament basketball up on Care Radio next week. Monday, Valley Falls at JCN. Tuesday, guys, with Leoski at Valley Falls. Taking a quick break. We'll be back as Sports Look rolls along here on Care. Welcome back to Sports Look here on Care Radio. Gus Benedictine wrapped up the home portion of the regular season last night up in the Nolan Gymnasium. And in the ladies' game, tell you what, Grandview showed up to play. They were the number 2 team in the conference. Benedictine had played them once before in Des Moines. Won that game on a last-second shot. That was not the case this time as Grandview secures an 84-77 win. They are, okay, don't underestimate Grandview. They are 23-4. That's pretty good in anybody's book.
Yeah, that's a Grandview team who really was going out last night. They didn't have a whole lot to play for. They couldn't go to 2 in the conference. They couldn't go to 1. They couldn't fall to 3. So again, you kind of go into that ballgame wondering exactly where were their heads going to be. You know where their heads were? They were a team looking to avenge that early season loss, to prove to themselves that maybe they could beat Benedictine. And they came out last night, and sometimes you talk about it, just a team gets hot early and then is able to kind of coast into the end, and that's what they did, right? Got up 27-19 at the end of a quarter, took a 40, 37-36 lead into the half. But then in the second half, Benedictine able to cut into it there in the fourth quarter, make it competitive, outscoring them, 24-14 in the fourth quarter and really cutting into it. But you look at that final score, you say, man, the Ravens right there at 7. I mean, that was, a 15-20-point game most of the second half.
Yeah, and in fact, Graham, you didn't score in the last 5-plus minutes of the game. The Lady Ravens rolled off, I think, like the 16 or 18 points of the game to make it look a little closer. And for the Lady Ravens, they didn't play badly. I mean, okay, 77 points. As a rule, 77 is a pretty good number. You're going to take that. They shot right at half from the floor, 48%. Hit 42% of their threes, 10 of 24. You'll take that. I mean, they out-rebounded by 8. I mean, you look at the numbers and you're saying, you know what? This is not a bad effort. It's just a grand view. It was pretty good.
Yeah, you want a recipe for late-season ball games, postseason ball games, and a team to win? Shoot 60% from behind the arc. All of a sudden, you can change a lot of games. Yeah. Grandview shot better from behind the arc than they did from the free throw line last night, right? They shot 12 of 20 from behind the arc and only 10 of 18 from the free throw line. So, again, shooting almost 5% better from behind the arc than they did from the free throw line.
But you come in against Grandview, and here's what you know. You know that's what they're going to do.
Yep.
This is what they are. They start their center, okay? Their big player, 5'10". I mean, they are out there with a bunch of guards. They are flying around. They are shooting the basketball. And this is how they win or lose. And obviously it works because they've won 23.
Yeah, and it's going to work a little as we get into postseason because they're a fast team. You talk about it. They play a lot of guards. They also get themselves into trouble in other games this season where they get themselves into a little foul trouble. But when the officials are swallowing the whistle at this time of the year, those reach-ins and steals and forcing turnovers – all of a sudden become really important. And last night, they forced the Lady Ravens into 16 turnovers. That I'm going to tell you, if this game were played in early January, Benedictine would have had like 8 turnovers and Grandview would have ended up with 8 more fouls, right? I mean, but when you're aggressive like that, hats off to the coaching staff to understand and tell their players, hey, if they're going to allow it, you keep pushing until you find that edge.
I'll tell you who's continued to improve and improve. And a senior season for Kennedy Nicholson has been fantastic. When you go 6-7, 3-point shooting, 18 points in the game, you'll take that. And a shooter like that can shoot you back into a lot of games.
Yeah, and if you're Kennedy Nicholson, you're looking, you're like, I was 6-7 from behind the arc. Spectacular. You miss your only other 3 shots. Like, you went 6-10 on the game. So 3 shots that weren't threes, you missed them. Step back and just keep throwing them up. She didn't come to the free throw line, but yes, 18 points last night. Fantastic. Jennifer Jacobs, 27 minutes, 19 points. A good line for her. Allie Kramer in 23 minutes. She had 5 rebounds and 11 points. So for the Lady Ravens, they're able to get, you know, nice bench scoring, nice balance scoring. But again, you just went up against a really hot shooting Grandview team last night, and as Coach Moody would tell you, that's a flush-it game, right?
Yeah.
Don't even watch that film. You start looking towards Graceland this weekend and move forward.
Other games last night, it was Mid-America. They continue to be the hottest team in the conference by far. 94 points. 94-89 over Central Methodist. 93 for Penn. They win by a dozen. You've got 75-66 Graceland winning. That's where BC's going Saturday. Baker, 2-point win in a last-second play over Peru State, and Park beats Missouri Valley. What that means is, for the Lady Ravens, it doesn't mean anything good, okay? With that loss, Benedictine falls into a tie for third place, okay? And the tiebreaker, there's the problem.
Yep, tiebreaker is going to go back to head-to-head. You look back on January 10th, Mid-America beat Benedictine in Olathe 63-62, and then just a couple weeks ago on February 2nd, or 7th, it was Mid-America pulling out a 71-66 victory over Benedictine. And you want to talk about Mid-America? They are 13-1 since January.
Yeah.
Right? And their only loss came at home with Clark on a Saturday, 65-60. So, I mean, you were right there. But they've just been red hot the second half of this season. They're going to get Penn on Saturday and the number that they're going to hang on Penn Saturday is kind of wherever they want to stop, right?
Yeah.
And so for Mid-America, it's been a fantastic end to the season because, again, they started this season just not good at all. They were going into the Christmas break. Let's see. They were 3-6 in the conference going into the Christmas break, and they were 4-9. So they were 3-6 in the conference. They were 4-9 overall going into Christmas break. So, and we talked about it a little bit about what's going on with Mid-America. They figured it out in the second half. 13-1, they find themselves now at 17-10. And I'm going to tell you, they're going to be the three team in this conference. They will get, you know, I mean, the way you look at it is that they'll probably be the third team in from the conference because just where they fall in the final rankings.
Yeah, and here's the deal. For Mid-America, the only way that they end up fourth in this conference is they got to lose to Penn. And, you know, and BC's got to win Saturday. And the likelihood of them losing to Penn, I think Benedictine can win Saturday. I mean, I'm not, it's not that. It's that I just don't see Mid-America losing to a 3-20 William Penn team Saturday. So
in Olathe, it'll be senior day. I mean, there's just too much against you. So again, we always talk about this time of the year, you would like to control your own destiny. Right now, the Lady Ravens are hoping that Mid-America can lose to William Penn. But by the time you lace them up, you should have a good idea of how that game goes.
Now, the only thing that still remains is the numbers 7-8 spots, because Central Methodist and Peru are both 10-13 and 7-8. And right behind them, Grayson and Culver Stockton at 9-14. There could be some jockeying around to see who travels to Dubuque and who travels to Des Moines.
Yeah, and so that's why this game Saturday for the Lady Ravens, again, they're better than Grayson. They beat Grayson already once this season, but Grayson's fighting for a spot right now. They find themselves at that spot where they need a win to get themselves into the tournament. So, again, a lot on the line for Grayson. And the last time Benedictine played Grayson, you waxed him. It was a Monday night back in January. They came away with an 81-57 win. So, again, can't fall into that false sense of confidence, but Lady Ravens are just the better team.
Yeah, and so the Benedictine women are going to be playing at home, and we'll have their game on Wednesday against whom? Well, we won't know until Saturday night.
We do. It's Mount Mercy. I'm just going to throw it out there, right?
I mean, put it out on the water.
So,
all right, we're going to take a quick breather. More Sports Look on a Thursday right after this. Last night, the Benedictine guys wrapped up their regular season at home, and They had, I thought, one of their better games. They knock off a good Grandview team, 71-60. And you see a lot of things with this Benedictine team. Are they going to make the postseason? They are not, but the cupboard is certainly not bare. They had some guys who I thought just had a great game, and I thought a great game plan. They executed and did what they needed to do.
Yeah. You talked to Coach in the post game about, hey, one thing we hadn't seen much from you all season is starting the two bigs, and he had a great response for why he started those two bigs. But, again, it seemed to work for this team, and that's something you don't see, especially in today's game, is you don't – there are some teams you see with no bigs, and you rarely see a team play two bigs, right? Like, back in the day, you always had a 4 and a 5. Now it's like you have a 1, a 2, a 2B, a 3, and a 5, right? And Benedictine had Gino last night scoring 12 points, pulled down 4 rebounds. But how about Bense Duca last night? Had a fantastic game, 15 points, 10 rebounds, getting a little double-double there. Also, 2 block shots to go along with that. Perfect from the free throw line, perfect from behind the arc. I mean, you'll take those kind of numbers.
Yeah, and here's a guy who, let's be very candid, he would have helped this team through the course of the season, but early in the year was battling an injury and didn't play a lot at all in the first semester, and finally has gotten well and has found his groove in with his team. And yeah, he's fit in fantastic. I gave him 15 points. And I'm going to tell you, Bryson LaRue continues to get better. Bryson's going to step right into that spot next year. He's only a sophomore, 16 points last night. And Ravens seniors Ahmad Lewis had 13. He had a big night. Ahmad playing at a different level. I mean, he just amped it up. And so Yeah, for Benedictine, that was a really, really good win to wrap up the home portion.
Yeah, you know, it was a game where they jumped out on top at the break. They were ahead 37-28. Now, at the end of that game, you say, well, Benedictine won by 11, but they kind of coasted a little bit in the last, four or five minutes of that ball game as well. But, you know, for Benedictine, you talk to the coach. So many teams would say, we're done. We got two games left. Let's just not worry about it. But that's not how they attacked that game. They went out, they knocked off a Grandview team, and now they'll turn their attention to Saturday afternoon going up to Lamoni, where for the Yellow Jackets, this is a big game.
Yeah, Graceland needs a dub, and for them, you know, the season not quite over yet, right?
Yeah, you talk about for Graceland, their season right now, coming off last night's game.
They go to, 16-7 in the conference? They are a 19-win team, 19-8. We talk about the trigger at 20, okay?
Yeah, and I think we can kind of move the trigger a little bit when it comes to the men's side because, again, you get three automatic berths because you're the conference that hosts the national tournament. But you'd really like to get to 20 because Central Methodist sitting there at 19-8. They could go to 20 as well. So a loss for Graceland, a win for Central Methodist, and all of a sudden Graceland's sitting there doing math after the game to figure out if they're going to be the two or if they're going to – or the three or they're going to be the four. I will tell you, Baker losing would be kind of a stretch. Last night, Graceland, though, knocked off Culver Stockton 75-66. Park defeated Missouri Valley 88-81. Mid-America scored 94 points. Central Methodist, 89. Baker held off Peru State 78-76. And Penn beating Clark 93-83. So, right now, it looks like okay, Mid-America already is the conference champion on the guys' side.
Oh, yeah.
They are 21-2. They are going to have a home game. Baker looks like they're going to settle into the two spot. Three is a little murkier because you've got Graceland right now at three, Central at four. Peru State will be on the road. Culver Stockton is six. Grandview is seven. Park and Valley are tied for that last spot in, both of those teams at 10-13.
And so again, there's a scrap for the last spot. I mean, there's either you're in or you're out. And you're talking about Park and Missouri Valley. They got to come up with some kind of a win. And for Grandview, you know, they would like to get another win and, you know, not be handed to Olathe.
Okay. So the two teams that are fighting at the bottom to get in, we were talking about Park.
Yep.
So Park is home with Culver Stockton on Saturday.
Should be a great game.
Who's the other game we're looking for?
Missouri Valley.
Okay, so Valley's going to Grandview on Saturday afternoon. It's a game that Valley should be able to win, but I don't count a whole lot when you're going up to that little gym up there. What is it, Sison Arena in at Grandview? It's small. It's kind of funky for a college atmosphere. I like it because, again, you put just a handful of fans in there. I mean, they're on top of you. The goals are mounted off of the walls. So, again, it's a lot like William Penn in that scenario. But again,
the gymnasium of many banners is what I call it.
A lot of national wrestling championships over there. Clark is at Peru. Penn at Manc. Valley at Grandview. Central Methodist at Mount Mercy. And Culver Stockton will be at Park on Saturday.
Yep, and we're going to be with Benedictine headed to Lamoni. The guys' game at 4 o'clock with our first game, the ladies' game at 2. Taking a quick break. We'll be back as Sportsville continues. Back with you here on Sports Look, and just the rapid fire. We've been talking NFL for the last, 5-6 months, it feels like, and they are over. But what's this Amazon playoff game? What on earth is this silliness?
Yeah, so here's the deal. Amazon says, wait a second, you gave Peacock a playoff game. Why can't we get one? And the NFL says, how much are you going to give me to do that? And said, okay, that sounds fine. So it looks like the NFL is going to give Amazon a playoff game next season. And I don't know. I mean, I guess it is what it is, and it's kind of maybe the way we're trending to, but again, the NFL works so well because all these games are, you know, just over the free air, which, again, is great for the NFL and its product right now.
Yep, so good for them, and we'll see how it all shakes out. It's all about the money, right? Look at it. College football, they're going to go to the 14-team playoff maybe in 26.
Can I tell you, we went from 4, now we're expanding, now we're looking to expand again in 26. I mean, like, at what point do you just say, hey, everybody's in the playoff, right? And, like, make it the 65-team playoff or 64-team playoff, I guess, that basketball is. I know that that's – I'm stretching it there, but – this one, it drives me nuts that we're already talking about moving it forward. And you know why we're talking about moving the goalpost? Because the one team that's not very good at football but likes to hang their hat that they won a championship in 1988, I'll let you Google that if you want, says, well, wait a second, this doesn't work for us. Because the NCAA came out last week and said, okay, when we do our final standings going into this year's college football playoffs, it's going to be the 4 conference champions, the Power 5 school at 5, and then we'll do the rest of them. There's one national team that has a national TV contract that can't be a conference champion.
But here's the deal.
So they're on the outside every year.
How relevant are they? They haven't won a national championship since, what, the 80s?
Yep. So, again, yeah, I mean, are they relevant? No, but if you start looking at the dollars, maybe, and so. Anyway, it's kind of funny that the NCAA has been at 4 teams for, like, the last 5 years now, I believe. We're going to expand it this year, and then you're going to go to 14, possibly, in 26. So, it's kind of crazy that we're already looking to move the goalposts.
Okay, we're talking about things being driven by money. We're going to shift also and talk about Major League Baseball because they are underway and doing stuff. And let's tie them all together with a big bow. The Royals are going to wear a Quick Trip patch?
Yeah.
What in the world?
So you watch the NBA, and I don't really watch the NBA. I follow the NBA a little bit, but I don't really watch the NBA. But they've sold the jersey, right? Like, every team, it seems like, has something on their jersey, okay? And it's a little extra revenue, I am sure, and it's, you know, kind of nice for the owners and stuff. And John Sherman says, I need a downtown baseball park. And Quick Trip says, we'll give you a little money to put our logo on the sleeve. And so this year, the Royals will don a QT on one of the sleeves. It's a big square red QT. I mean,
it jumps off the page, whew, man.
It's right there. So, again, it'll be a little different, something to get used to. But if you're anything like me, you don't watch the Royals anyway. You just listen to them, so you won't know one way or another.
Yeah, but I got to watch it because of HUD. Okay, I subscribe to the service so that I can hear Hudler. I'm sorry. It's just what it is. Now, one other thing about the Royals as they get ready for the season, one of the Royals, can we call him, is he a Royals legend? And I think that's going to be a debatable question, but certainly, unquestionably, 4-time Gold Glove Award winner and World Series champion is going to retire. And he was a big part of that Kansas City championship year.
Can I tell you, I am going to be in the minority here, and I'm probably going to get a lot of eggs thrown at me for this. Eric Hosmer just never did much for me. I mean, he was an above average first baseman, but in the American League, at the time, because it was the division that had the, you know, designated hitter, I needed my first baseman to be an okay glove. I also needed him to hit the ball well, and Eric Hosmer was a great singles and doubles hitter, but when you look back at first baseman, he'll never be one that just jumps out at you and says, wow, wasn't he spectacular? I think as a Royals player, he really fit. He was able to bridge a lot of things in the clubhouse. But at the end of the day, I just think he was a really nice player. I mean, I don't know where he probably ranks up on the pantheon of first basemen for the Royals, but he was okay. I mean, I liked him as a player, but again, I think sometimes he gets hyped because he was on those World Series teams. But we got to remember, he was the number 3 overall pick that year in the draft. He needed to be special.
He was no Steve Balboni. He was no Willie Mays Akins. I mean, we could start going down the list of those sluggers who played that first base slot for the Royals.
You're
going
to laugh. I mean, he was no, you know, he was no Chili Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I just, in a time when he played, he was, you know, at the time, Prince Fielder was a great first baseman and a big hitter. Albert Pujols was a good first baseman and a big hitter. Again, he was just a really nice player, good athlete for this team.
And again, a four-time Gold Glove Award winner, so that gives him a little bit of stuff. But he played his first 7 years with the Royals, then got the fat contract. I mean, this is what happens. Small market teams can't afford the guys. He gets a $144 million contract with the Padres, played for them for 4 years. They traded him off. Then he got DFA'd.
Yeah, and so the advantage to Eric being able to retire too right now is that the Padres are still paying him for like 2 or 3 more years, right? And so, I mean, that makes it a little easier that I can sit at home, not be flying around the country for 162 baseball games and still get a check from the Padres. There were teams, he said, that still wanted him, but he just decided that at this time, he's still getting some money from the Padres. He's done well enough for himself. He's got a kid. You know, he's going to jump into a couple, you know, new adventures for him, and good for Eric Hosmer. It's kind of crazy, though. I mean, Moustakas signed a minor league contract the other day with the White Sox. Salvi's really one of the last guys, you know, still doing something productive. And I kind of use that loosely because, again, Salvi got injured last year. You know, his production has been down but still been a big part of this Royals team. You talk about the 14 and 15 Royals teams. When those guys left Kansas City to go on to do bigger things, it never really worked out for any of them, right?
No, Alcides
never really did much. Yeah. You talk about Lokane when he went to the Brewers, got big money, but just never probably lived up to what the Brewers
the
wanted.
The shortstop, help me out here.
Yeah, Alcides.
Alcides.
You talk about Hosmer when he got the big money with the Padres. You talk about Moustakas when he left here. And so, I mean, like none of those guys just really went on to have great careers after they left Kansas City. It was just never the same.
Yep. And so for Hosmer, you mentioned new stuff. I think that, do we need a podcast? Because he's going to retire from baseball and launching an MLB media company, Moonball Media, and a digging deep podcast. I don't know. The Kelseys make it look easy and they're entertaining. I'm not so sure Eric Hosmer is going to be quite that fun. We'll see.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's the thing is, like, the Kelseys, we just know they're fun and love funny.
I won't miss it.
So for Hosmer, I mean, I think you've got to hit it hard early and get that audience.
Okay, that all said, we're going to roll into college basketball real quickly. Kansas, number 9, they're going to be at home Saturday with Texas. K-State's going to be at home Saturday with number 25, BYU. I'm still struggling to have these conference games. Houston is at Baylor. There's your game.
Yeah, number 2, Houston will be at number 11, Baylor, Saturday, 11 a.m. Should be an interesting one. Big game for probably Baylor, a little more than Houston. Man, can you imagine this Big 12 tournament here in, what, just a little over a week?
Yeah.
I mean, this thing's going to be just jam-packed. And can I tell you, people in Kansas City also have to love the fact that Iowa State is relevant.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Iowa State's one of those teams who's having a great year.
And they bring more people than any school.
More than anybody.
Yeah. Now, with number 25 BYU at K-State Saturday, then they're going to turn around and be at KU Tuesday. Do they just get like a hotel out in Salina somewhere and just like hang out in Kansas for a couple of days instead of going back and forth?
I mean, you would think so, right? I mean, again, I know these guys are
student athletes.
But
they can remotely maybe do the class on a Zoom or something, huh?
I would be shocked if BYU didn't stay somewhere around here and then play Kansas on Tuesday.
Here's what we got. Tons of stuff coming up. No high school basketball on K-Radio on Friday. We're going to have the scoreboard show. They're going to kind of catch you up to speed with all of that stuff. Saturday, wrestling, state wrestling, and we want to reach out and extend our best wishes. A lot of athletes from around the area going to be out grappling this weekend. And, Gus? We wish them all very well, man. It's a big deal. The fans that go to wrestling are like none other. We've also been on Saturday, Benedictine at Graceland. Ladies game at 2, guys game at 4 in Lamoni. Monday night, it'll be girls substate basketball. Valley Falls at Jeff North. Boys basketball Tuesday night at the first round of the sub-state, Oskaloosa at Valley Falls, and Wednesday, BC Ladies Playoffs. Got to thank our sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Barn Dance, and Exchange Bank. Until we greet you from the gym, for Gus Counts, Tom Counts, so long, everybody.